While they are finishing that up, I will let those who are watching online know that we are going to need to sign off. The missionary couple that we have here needs to keep some of their information guarded, and so we wish you well, but we can't broadcast that out on Facebook. So thank you for at least worshiping with us this morning. Very good. It's always a delight when we can have missionaries here. It's a real blessing to me, and more than just having Phil and Ruth Ann here to share an update on what God's been doing since they've been in the St. Cloud area. It's a double blessing because many of you may recall that I was up at a conference. I was gone Wednesday, Thursday at a much smaller gathering, and then Friday was the full-blown conference, and I was one of the invited guest pastors to preach a message there. And I knew that I could have come and preached this morning. God would have given strength. But oh, what a refreshing blessing it is to not have to today. So, Phil, I don't know if Ruth Ann's coming up with you. No? Well, we might have to have you stand just so people see you. Phil's going to come and share. He's got a sign-up sheet in the back. We put it on a little table under the missions bulletin board out in the foyer so that you can, if you haven't already, start getting updates regularly from him on the people and the ministry that he's involved in. So, Phil, God bless. Come and share with us.
What we want him to do. And I want to just pray this morning that he would direct our hearts and my voice and my tongue. Lord, thank you so much for this beautiful fall morning and for being able to worship as we have just done. We love you, Lord. We love your kingdom and that it is advancing in all the world. And thank you that we can be a part of it. To you be the glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's hard to believe we've been in St. Cloud for a year and a half. Now, some of you are very new here, so you wonder. I'm sorry? Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. I have to hit this button. Is it on?
Nope. Up here at the top. Here, switch there now.
Oh, how's that?
There you
okay.
Go. There you go. Now we're good.
All right. Yeah, for some of you who are new, a little bit of our history. I grew up here on the Soxa farm where Jason and his family live today. And I remember as a child going to church one day, and a missionary came to speak from Africa. And I'm not sure what she said. I think she showed some slides. But after that, about at 10 years of age or eight, I don't remember, I thought, I'm going to be a missionary because there's a need. There's a need. I'm going to be a missionary. Well, that surprised everybody around me. And I was reminded of that actually this morning as I walked in and talked to two young boys. They shared about how the sacrifice of Abraham and Isaac and the ram that was sacrificed in the place of Isaac. It's a beautiful story. And, you know, I reminded that I was about that age when God spoke to me. And that feeling, calling, vanished when I was in high school. But then I joined the Navy, and left in 1961. And we returned 59 years later. So that journey in the Navy, God renewed that calling to me as I began to follow Him with all my heart. And I thought, you know what? I think maybe God had called me back then. And a verse that, let's see, that's the wrong one. How do we go back here? Maybe that's the first one. Oh, yes, here you go. So that verse, that promise, that direction that God laid on my heart back then was, it is too light a thing for you to be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob. I give you as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach the ends of the earth. And I said, yes, Lord, I think that's for me. And that's what we've been doing the last 60 years. So in the Navy, I met the Navigators and really got help in discipling and catching the vision. That's 60 years ago that I began that journey. And we're still, of course, involved with the Navigators there here in St. Cloud and still retaining our connection in Michigan. But as I thought about that, one of the thoughts I've had as we've come here is, who will be our replacement? Who will replace us? We are in the last season. I turn 80 this week. And that still is like, how could it be? Where has the time gone? Except that I know that the strength is waning. And, you know, speaking even is not as easy as it used to be. Words are sometimes gone. May He increase as I decrease. That's what I'm praying. As John the Baptist said, He must increase and I must decrease. So we're still engaged, though. And that journey, reaching the nations, brought us to Ohio State to reach international students. And some of you will remember this picture or these people. 40 years ago, this group came to this church. And many of you, or not many, some of you hosted them, were involved with them back in 1980. Now, it'd be interesting, if you don't mind, who was involved in the 80s or early 90s? When we brought international students here. Would you mind standing? Just, who was involved? Wow. Praise God. Yes, and many, many more. Some have left, gone elsewhere. Some are with the Lord. But that was really significant for us, the international students, our kids. There are only three of them there. We had two more since that picture. And I think it's significant for you as a church. You know, you've had a significant part in our journey these 40 years. So we came to St. Cloud. We left Michigan. We went there from Ohio State. The Navigators asked us to come and pioneer a ministry to international students, refugees there, Muslim people. In the Michigan. By God's grace, we left there with two teams of people, mainly younger people, reaching the Muslims. And I could describe some of the things that are going on today. I'll just say one thing, and that maybe two. There's a man and wife who came because their daughter was there. This last year, he was instrumental in starting a staff servicing or employment agency so that refugees who are trying to find jobs can be placed into jobs. And in doing so, living life among these Muslims in a way that's tangible help so we can share the gospel with them. In less than a year, I don't know what the latest figure is, but it's 300 or 400 people have been placed in jobs, refugees. So there are things going on that came into being while we were there. This man's daughter has three Afghan teenagers who just arrived from Afghan living with her. Very difficult. They're very traumatized. But it's an aunt and two sisters that live together and trying to help them find a life. So, you know, it's exciting to see that we can have a part in what God is doing in this way. But in St. Cloud, we want to talk a little bit more about that, of course. And we transitioned. It's been amazing how, as we, even before we came here, we were linked up with Arrive Ministries and Andrew and Samantha Grimsley, who are leading that. And so it was like just coming alongside. We didn't lose anything, even in the COVID. It was amazing that we were engaged. A year ago and some months ago, we met a family, Ahmadi Shukriya from Afghanistan, and two sons. Muhammad is the only one shown there. We had them over for dinner a little over a year ago, and right after that we asked them, would you like to study the holy books with us? And they said, yeah. We've been doing that now. We're almost through Luke. It's been slow going every other week, but it has just been so encouraging. And I know that some of you have been praying as we have shared about this family from time to time. Ahmadi is a PhD student at St. Cloud State University. His wife has a master's degree. I could go into a lot of their story, but I won't. But just to say one thing that we learned last night as we were sitting, reading Luke and discussing the passage in Luke, and Ahmadi said, that reminds me of something. He hadn't even shared this with his wife, which was kind of surprising. Something had happened a couple of weeks ago. A little background on that. Ahmadi and Shukriya are financing their own way through their PhD studies, and they really were struggling, especially come this fall. They had no money. We're concerned, so some of us gathered around, and we got some money together, actually quite $2,000 or $3,000, just to help them survive, because they had run out, and their family in Kabul was like, no money. I mean, no food. So from our generous partnership, which we were so delighted to help them, they not only are able to survive, but they were able to send some money back to their family in Afghanistan and some friends. So Ahmadi told us last night, he said that a friend of his came to mind. This is about 2 weeks ago, I think. And he said, you know, I want to call this person. And I want to do more than call him. I want to offer him some money. Some of the money that, you know, had been given to him that he then wants to pass on. And so he called his friend and talked about with the friend a bit, and then said, let's call him Mo. Mo, I want to send you some money. Well, Mo could not believe this, because who does this? You know, a friend, and especially in that culture where everybody's just like, they don't have anything to give away. Here, somebody out of the blue is calling him and wants to send him some money. And so as he was talking to Mo, he got a text on his phone. He looked at it. And he could not believe what the text was saying. He was reading it, because the university in St. Cloud, because of the situation with COVID and everything, they are offering some cash money to the students. They can spend it however they want to. And this was just, I mean, almost however they want to, Ruth Ann is saying, you know, but for food, for their own survival, for whatever. And, you know, it wasn't just tied to one little thing. And as he was reading this, at the time when he had sent money, God sent him a text, and he said, this is three times of what I gave. God is giving him three times over what he had just agreed to send. And as he was sharing this, tears came to his eyes, and he had to stop. So, you know, this is, and we've seen this happen in this family before. You know, this is not the first time that he has shared what some people say is coincidence. It's God incidence. It's God bringing this thing right there. They're not yet in the kingdom. So pray that, but they love Jesus. They are hungry. But it's a, for most Muslims, it takes an average of 7 years to come to embrace Jesus. So that's a little bit about Ahmadi. And there's another person that I'm reaching out to, who's a Somali believer. He knows very little English. His wife is not a believer. His 8 children are not believers. But we're praying for Abdi. And I'm meeting with him, helping him on some things. So, I forgot what time I started speaking, but so, supposed to not go for an hour, I think. But how can you partner with us? You already are, of course. We are so thankful for how you have been partnering with us. And there are a few things that I'd like to just bring before you as possible ways you can partner with us. And one is through Arrive Ministries. They're teaching people, the ladies, and I guess there's some men too, to sew. So they have something to maybe, just sew their own clothes, because they don't know how to sew by hand maybe. So there's an opportunity. It would mean, of course, coming to St. Cloud for 2 or 3 hours once a week. To do one-to-one teaching somebody how to sew. Very simple. And building a relationship. I mean, that's the key. You have a chance to build a relationship with a Somali, most likely, woman who is just so thankful to meet somebody who cares for her. So if you're able and thinking about that, in the back there is a sign-up sheet, and you could mention that. The other possibility to get involved with us, we have just purchased this house for Afghans who we expect will arrive in the next few months as a place to live. So we'll rent it to them. So in getting this place furnished, if you have some furniture, some dishes, whatever, and would like to donate them, we could, if it's a large piece of furniture, we wouldn't ask you to bring it to the church, I think. But if it's small, maybe they could do that, bring it someplace and we'd pick it up in a week or two. But if it's something that you say, hey, I think we could give a mattress or a bed or something, a table, let us know. And on that sign-up sheet, you can tell us about that, and then we could make arrangements to pick it up. So that would be a way of partnering with us there. But also in this, praying with us that as we get this place ready in a few weeks, and as we're expecting people to come in, 35 units of Afghans are scheduled to arrive in St. Cloud. A unit could be a sister and a brother or a family. This 4-bedroom house could have 6 or 7 people living in it. So it would be a tremendous opportunity to to come alongside. And this is where I think this verse in Isaiah has really touched my heart. And it speaks about the people of Israel and how they had become hardened to God. And you need to stop oppressing the weak and stop making false accusations and spreading vicious rumors. Feed the hungry. Help those in trouble. Then your light will shine out of darkness will shine from the darkness, and the darkness around you become as the day. So as we provide, this is a motivating verse for us to get a property. Now, this is our second one, and I don't know, you know, we're forming an LLC with some of my family here, and maybe we'll get some more if you have an interest of investing some money that you're saving for a purpose, but want to use it, not lose it, you know, because you're not giving it, you're investing it in the kingdom work. And so this is what really excites us about doing that. When the foreigner lives with you in your land, don't take advantage of him. Treat the foreigner the same as the native. Love him like one of your own. Remember, you were foreigners in Egypt. How many of your ancestors came here as immigrants? Probably all of them. I don't see any Native Americans here. And many of our ancestors, when they came, they were not welcomed, because it was the ones who came first, you know, that thought, we're here. This is our land. We don't want other people coming in. They faced this, as refugees face that same exact thing these days. When they come, are they welcome? As we say with the Statue of Liberty, it just tears my heart to hear of the responses of people who are so afraid, who want to protect what God has given them rather than use what God has given you. So, you know, we are so thrilled that we can do this with resources, with our lives, and, you know, with the strength that God gives us, and we pray he would give us until he calls us home or until the Lord comes. We want to give away. And you know what? You can't give away. You can't outgive God. As you pour out yourself, then your light rises in the darkness. Then your gloom becomes as a noonday. And the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your desires. Going on from Isaiah 58. So it just doesn't make any sense to be selfish or self-protective, because God says, and we're following Jesus, who said we should love the foreigner who has come to us. And he demonstrated that by reaching out to the Samaritan woman. We need to be like Jesus. So as we think about what is God speaking to us about this morning? You know, you do have people around you, but you also have the world, maybe not so much here in central Wright County, but they're not that far away. And you have the opportunity to reach out and to become a friend with maybe a Somali, maybe an Afghan. Together, we can reach the nations that God has brought to us. And these people, like Ahmadi and Shukriya, they're connected with the nations back in Afghanistan. And so as they come into the kingdom, and we really believe that it's just a matter of months that they're going to embrace Jesus, that it would just become so powerful in their heart that they said, I want this for myself. And, you know, God is really doing an amazing work among the Afghans that are arriving. There are believers. We were at a conference last week, 2 weeks ago. An Afghani, actually a pastor in Tennessee or someplace out there. And we met another Afghan who's a believer. So God is doing, especially among the Afghans, there are literally hundreds of believers. But as a nation, they're still walking in darkness. So pray about how God wants to use you in this In the kingdom of God, I'm looking at some of the youth here. You have a life before you. You have a life before you. How are you going to invest it? How? Who's going to be raised up to replace us? Because we're on the decline. Praise God. He will increase as we decrease. But who is going to take up the mantle? Ask God, what is it that, you know, he, as I did when I was 19, but it started when I was 10 or so. You know, something clicked within me. It was the Spirit of God saying, I want to do this. I want to give my life to something that's going to last for eternity, not just for a few short years. Last for eternity. I think about when I was 10, 11, 12, farming here with my dad. What a beautiful experience that was. And I thought, well, I want to do this all my life. I want to farm. Well, I discovered the cows and the chickens don't need to hear about Jesus. And by God's grace, praise God, we have been able to labor in the kingdom for 60 years. I have 60 years. Thank you.
I have to turn around. I want to pray for Phil and Ruth Ann and their ministry. So let's do that now. The gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for taking a young boy at 10 and starting to put a thought into his heart and mind and a desire there. And it took a little while, but you kept bringing it back and you wouldn't let him go because you had a work for him to do. Thank you, Father, for the many, many years Phil and Ruth Ann have served you in so many different places, sharing the gospel with so many different people, sowing that seed and allowing you to bring about the harvest. Now, Father, as they are settled in at St. Cloud, I pray that you would grant them physical strength, even as he has said, they're in those waning years, but continue to grant him the physical strength to serve. I pray that that spiritual strength would be matched by that. And then, Lord, raise up others to come alongside now, but also someone that might serve as a replacement as Elijah's mantle goes to Elisha. Father, I pray that you would provide for this house the items that are needed. I pray that you would continue to let those physical needs be met so that your gospel would be listened to and that your Holy Spirit would go before them. Thank you so much, Father, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.